Hi there, this is Steve Chambers from View Yonder, and I'm reading a blog post, 7 plus 1 Challenger Customer Personas Every SaaS Needs to Know. Let's start. Not all SaaS is a simple one-click purchase. This post explores the seven Challenger customer personas an enterprise SaaS sales need to navigate, plus the extra person you need to mobilize and secure the buy decision. If you've been in SaaS for any length of time, you've probably experienced prospect ghosting. A once excited prospect drops off the radar, and that committed deal is now closed or lost. You and your team then reflect. Is it a problem with the product? Maybe the sign-up process is faulty? Is it a customer onboarding problem? Well, it could be none of those. It could be that you didn't realize you have a challenger customer, and more people than your champion need persuading. We discussed this in a previous post on SaaS sales, where there are 5.4 challenging reasons why your SaaS needs a sales team. So in addition to that, your sales team is going to experience some of the seven customer personas. Plus, you need to turn your champion into a mobilizer. Being a fan isn't enough these days. So let's look at how to handle the seven challenger customer personas. So if you've been in sales for any amount of time, you'll have an instinct by which you judge people in your prospect's organization. But the researchers behind the challenger customer put a bit of science around this. And when you read down this list of personas, I bet you can imagine people you've met like this in real life, because I know I can. Starting at number one, the go-getter. Every org seems to have a person that is known for getting shit done. They don't waste time on useless projects. People say, hey, if John is on it must be worth doing. This person is your advocate for good ideas who delivers results. The go-getter that will take care of internal selling of your proposition. If a go-getter isn't involved in your customer project, then you need to find one. Ask your champion, and more on them later, to find this kind of person. Give examples of when helping a go-getter at other clients has helped them win. Make it about them. Definitely don't say, we've less chance of winning your business without a go-getter being on board. I mean, that's true, but that's about you, not them, isn't it? The second person we're going to look at is the skeptic, and this is my personal favorite. In all of my years on the front line of tech sales, this was my target as a field chief technology officer. Who's asking all the difficult questions? But don't get me wrong, this isn't a negative, Nelly. More on the blocker next. But it's that well-respected, thoughtful, straight-talking gatekeeper you need to win over. If you've been doing your job right, you should be armed with a bundle of FAQs that previous skeptics have asked you. In fact, you should leap at the chance to find and help the skeptic with as many awkward questions as you can. Remember, you're the expert, right? You're here to help them with your commercial insight. And you can do that with a list of skeptical questions. They will love you for this, guaranteed. And if you feel uncomfortable with sharing difficult questions about your SaaS, then you're in trouble. Now, if you only deal with a skeptic as much as I love them, you might just be helping them to competitively judge the market with no buyer intent. As with all these personas, just dealing with one of them is not enough. The third one is the friend. This is your ally, someone willing to share ideas. They listen, they tell you things that will help you. But your friend isn't usually the decision maker or a go-getter or a skeptic. Well, they might be, but they'll maybe not ask you difficult questions because you're a friend, right? Sometimes it's not obvious to others in the prospect's organization that the friend is working with you. Maybe you meet out of the office in a coffee shop. Maybe you just chat online, work from home. And sometimes it's like having a spy on the inside. The fourth person we're going to look at is the teacher. They are recognized, respected internally as someone who's always learning and sharing. This is the person you need to get your commercial insight to. You're the expert in your field. You have a wealth of information that nobody else has. This is the juice you need to set loose via the teacher. This is less about your features and functions and more about the problems you're going to solve for them and why that matters, especially compared to industry thought leadership and competitive intelligence. Teachers like context. For example, do you understand their vertical? Where do you fit in the horizontal competitive landscape? Is this a big bet or a little bet? Why should they care? Why are you best? Think about your positioning. That's the foundation of your messaging. And this is the target for that stuff, because they'll amplify and spread your message. Plus, they are likely to teach you a thing or two, which is great intelligence. The fifth one is the guide. Because navigating an enterprise is something seasoned salespeople are experts at, because they always have a friendly guide on the inside. They'll share inside information such as staff reporting structures, who the key players are, and what motivates them, so you can align with their priorities and objectives. They'll make meetings for you, open doors for you, help you prepare, as well as giving you feedback and progress reports. This isn't quite a mobilizer, but it's the next best thing. Our sixth persona is the climber. Now, the last two we've talked about, these last two are going to be a little bit negative, but they're important to spot and handle. The climber will pick you up if you're helpful to them, but not necessarily the organization. Great, you might think. If I align with the climber, then they'll help me. These people are going places. But hold on a moment. The odds are that the other personas in the customer org know that this person is a climber. There might be people who want to stop the climber at all costs. That means if you are tightly aligned to the climber and someone shoots them down, then you're going down with them. There's another aspect to this. The climber might just be using you for hidden motives. They might actually prefer your competitor. Maybe that's even an internal project with no intention to buy anything. So they extract as much info out of you as possible before discarding you once your usefulness is at an end. The seventh and perhaps most negative of all is the blocker. In fact, we've saved the worst to last. If I was to be charitable, I'd say this person is a blocker because they like the status quo. They despise change. For them, the pain of change will always be more than the pain of same. They'll cross their arms and use phrases like, "We don't work like that." That's a true story from my VMware days when we were all about change and pain. The good news is that everyone knows this negative Nelly is always complaining, hates change, and so they discount their opinion. In fact, others are often suspicious of anything the blocker is happy about. So that's the seven challenger customer personas. Now let's get on to the main protagonist, which is the mobilizer. You can't win enterprise sales without one of these. The seven personas above are players, but the mobilizer is the star of the show. So let's talk about turning fans and champions into mobilizers. Because at the top of this piece, we talked about prospect ghosting, how that excited fan wanted to champion your product, but then disappeared during sign up or onboarding, and nobody knows why. People suspect it's a product or a process issue, but maybe it's a challenger customer issue. Remember, a mobilizer won't ghost you. But are you sure, Steve? Who is this mystery person? Well, it's an individual that will fight for you and your solution. They will act as an internal champion, and they'll help you navigate stakeholders who have an influence on the decision. You should always seek to turn fans and champions into mobilizers. In fact, it's like a test, because being a fan and a champion isn't enough. You need to arm mobilizers with a map, a plan, and tools to mobilize other personas on your behalf. You're going to make them look great. Some people, though, are just not up to this task. In fact, they'll feel uncomfortable if you try and turn them into a mobilizer. Maybe they'll say, "You know, I'm just not outgoing enough, Steve." And that's okay. Maybe they're more of a friend or a guide than a mobilizer. But if you're good at creating mobilizers, with because you have a map, you have a plan, you have the tools, you've done this before, you are the expert, you're there to help, then you're more likely to create a long-term partnership which is going to last beyond the current deal. But how? First of all, don't try to mobilize the wrong person. If you've been ghosted by someone, you know they're not a mobilizer. Or maybe it really is your problem. But if you're good and people don't want to play, don't just blame yourself. Maybe they're a different type of persona. Check your persona radar and get it fixed. But secondly, remember, you're the expert in what you do. You're the expert in their vertical. You've got to understand their vertical and how their organization thinks. And I know this is often said, but this is about working as a team. Don't roll your eyes. One of the ways of doing this is to gather all the expertise you've done from previous wins and losses, because it's good and bad news. It's honest expertise and experience is what a mobilizer wants. So give them the sugar-free version of what to do. First, start with a map. Show them how the land usually lies, what it looks like in their competitors, what's normal, what's not normal. Talk about the people in other places. Tell them, hey, we know, for example, that finding and helping a skeptic is really helpful to companies like yours. Tell them about other skeptics, then show them the skeptic FAQ. Arm them to go and speak to the skeptic and hopefully take you with them. They'll know who to talk to. Maps can also include industry observations. Think about analysts and what they say. What about vertical insights, such as case studies for technology related to yours, but in supply chain, if that's what you're focusing on? This is also the stuff that the teacher loves. You could think about skeptic and teacher as the two sides of the same coin. Next thing to do is give them a plan. Say, look, this is how it normally goes, John. I know everyone has some differences, so it might not exactly be like this, but this is normally how it goes. If you help them move forward, this is the sort of stuff the go-getter persona would love and are required to do this. The third thing is give them the tools to do the job. And the job is to decide to buy your thing. This could be business cases, ROI, TCO calculators, pre-built presentations, recorded demos, lab or demo access, whatever they need. Don't wait for them to ask. Tell them this stuff is available. This is going to make you successful. I guarantee few, if any, of your competitors will do things like this. So if you mobilize someone in an enterprise, I swear your chances of winning that deal will go up exponentially. Remember, knowing one or more of the personas is not enough. A singular fan or a champion is not enough. Well, that's the end of this blog post. I hope you enjoyed it. This is Steve Chambers from View Yonder.